Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself and your ways and your expectations to us through your word. Thank you for this age in which we live, that we can have a written copy of your word, or through many different means we can take in your word and absorb your word, Lord, through listening, through radio, through CDs, through MP3s, through video, Lord, so many ways we can take in your word, the internet, Lord, and Lord, that we have easy access to written copies of your word. Thank you. And we just don't take that lightly, and we ask that you would help us to make the most of what you've entrusted us with. You said, to those whom much has been given, much will be required. We ask that you'd help us to take your word right now and look into it and read it and listen to it. And we thank you for your message that you have given to me. And we pray that you would speak your message to us, that you would get me out of the way. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be ready, and we would hear you, and we would trust you, and we would obey you, and we would leave this place doing all that you've told us to do, and not just hearing, as you tell us in your word, not to be a hearer, but to be a doer of your word. Help us in that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No more dead dads. God's will for a dad, for a father, is a man that is following after him. A man that is following after God's own heart. That's what God desires for every one of us. He wants us to be following him wholeheartedly, being like David, someone who God can say, this is a man after my own heart. And that is going to be the best possible dad, is a dad who has given up everything and put the Lord Jesus Christ and put his Heavenly Father first above everything, his family, his wife, even his own children. How does that make sense? How can you be the best dad if you put something above your children? Well, it's the Lord. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. The best possible dad is the one who follows after his Heavenly Father with all of his heart and all of his soul. And so we can all take from this message and learn from this message, because that's not just the best possible dad we can be. That's the people that God wants all of us to be. That's what God wants for every human being. He wants every one of us, young, old, male, female, all of us. He wants us following him, putting him above everything in our lives, loving him and serving him wholeheartedly with all that we are. And so we can all take from this message, no more dead dads. Well, what are we talking about here? Well, God gives us this great picture of what it is to be no longer dead, but alive in him. Alive because of something God has done, something that he wants to do. And we see it in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn there with me. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible in the chair next to you. And try to remember to bring your Bible with you so you can use your own. And so you're just staying in your own word. And you've always got that with you. And you're familiar with your own word of God. That you can have your times with the Lord, your quiet times with Ephesians 2. And if you're new at this, that's the New Testament. That's going to be the last third of the Bible. So If you just open up to that last third, you'll start seeing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep going. You'll see Corinthians. Go on past there. Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at these first 10 verses together. Now, God has already been revealing in the first chapter through the Apostle Paul, the one God has written His Word through, the Apostle Paul. We've already heard in this first chapter just about God's great purposes and His plan and how it all, it's all about this universal first place, this headship of Christ, of Jesus Christ. And the first chapter talks about the praise of His glory. That's what it's all about, Christ. And it's about the praise of His glory and His plans and His purposes. And we see that in chapter 1. And then we come to this chapter 2. And now He starts telling us about the steps that God takes to fulfill His plans and His purposes, to accomplish these things, and how it all begins with saving individuals, the salvation of individuals, the salvation of people, of each person. That's how His plans begin. And so we see in chapter 2 the steps God takes to fulfill His great plans and purposes to the praise of His glory. And so we see these first 10 verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. Well, here's how to have no more dead dads and no more dead people. Period. Here's how God does it. Look at this together. First of all, in order to make sure we have no more dead dads and no more dead people, know this, first of all, you were or are dead. That's where we start off here in these first three verses. You were or are dead. You're in one of those two categories right now. Every human being on the face of this earth is in one of those two categories. You either were dead at one time, or you are dead. And you say, I'm alive. This is spiritually speaking, spiritually dead. You either were or you are, one or the other. One or the other. There's no in between. You were or are dead. And it's spiritually. We see in these first three verses, let's look at this. As for you, you know, he's writing to believers. So these used to be dead. They were dead spiritually. These who he's writing to, the Ephesian believers. So he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And so as for them, now that they're believers, were is the word there. You were dead, because that's how you start off. That's how all human beings, that's how you start off, dead spiritually to God. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's what killed you. Because of your transgressions and sins, you were spiritually dead. God says in his word, the soul that sins, it shall die. And spiritually, we are, our sins have separated us from our God. This is what God's word tells us. And so spiritually, we are dead because of our trespasses and sins. And so they were dead because of their trespasses and sins, in which you used to live. This is just the normal, the natural way. Some people in the world call it human nature. God calls it our sinful nature. It's just our normal, natural way. That's the way you used to live, that they used to live. So you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Before you come to Christ, before you're made alive, you might not even realize it, but you are following the ways of the world. It's just the natural way. Your own flesh, your own sinful desires, the world and its teachings and its ways and its principles, that's what you operate by. That's the natural way. Apart from Christ, when we're dead in our trespasses and sins, you obey the ways of the world. And so that's where they were. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And so you're in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Well, that's Satan, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Satan is not just on the ground. He was a created being. He used to be an angel, but he fell and he's become Satan. He's become the devil. And so the scripture refers to him, one of his names is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's the one who's in the world. In the world's domain, ruling. He's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And the spirit, his spirit, that evil spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And so it's by his spirit that the disobedience, the sin. And so they were all these things. They were dead in transgressions and sins. And they followed the ways of the world and Satan and didn't even realize it. And Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, the Bible says. So you could be an unbeliever here today. You could be somebody who has not yet repented and given your life to Jesus. And you may not even believe in the devil. You might be someone saying, I don't believe in that. I don't think the devil's real, running around with some pitchfork. And it doesn't matter. No telling how many people don't believe in the devil. Doesn't matter. This is where you start off. Every human being is following the ways of the world before they come to Christ. The ways of the world and obeying him, following him. He is their father. They don't even realize it. They might not even believe in him. It doesn't matter. That's where they start out. Following him, whether they believe in him or not. And then in verse 3, all of us, so all these believers here, and all people, anybody who is no longer dead, all of these people, verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time. In other words, that's how we all start off. We've all been there before. There's been a time that you have not had Christ. And it's kind of sad because you can talk to a lot of, I've talked to a lot of believers in my, just even in my life. And you know, you may talk to someone and they may say, oh, I've always been a believer. You start talking to them about their faith and their faith in Jesus? Do they have that relationship? Do they know him? Have they been born again? And you start trying to listen to them spiritually, and you'll hear people say, I've always been a believer. There's never been a time I haven't been. I was brought up that way. I've always been. And not according to God's word here. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, like everybody who starts out, all people, as God tells us in his word, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's another verse for somebody who feels like, oh, I've just always been a Christian. No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To become a Christian, you've got to acknowledge that and believe that and know that about yourself and admit it and then repent. And then the Savior saves you as you put your faith in him. But the end of verse 3, like the rest, like everybody in this state, we were by nature objects of wrath. This is what God's wrath is against sin. And so all of us started out that way. We're dead in our transgressions and sins, and we are objects of God's wrath. If we die that way, we experience eternal death and hell. The wrath of God is upon us. We die in our sins and our trespasses. And so all of us at one time were. You were or you are dead. And you know what that looks like. We've got a tree. We've got a tree just outside our kitchen window that's dead. And right here in the summertime, I was asking Allison the other day, you know, are you sure there's not any leaves on it? There's nothing. Well, I was just looking yesterday or the day before, and there's nothing on it. Here in the middle of, at the beginning of summer, there's nothing green. It's just a dead tree, and bark's falling off, and there's no life. There's no fruit. It's dead. And that's how we all start out, because of our sins and our trespasses. You were dead, or you are. You could be sitting here today dead spiritually, and you don't want to go into eternity that way. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how many days we have here. We don't know when our heart is going to stop. So please leave here today alive. It's a simple thing that the Lord has done everything to provide the perfect, easy, simple way for you to become alive instantly. If you will repent and believe. So please make sure you do that today. If you have any doubt or if you think you may be dead, don't play with that. Remember those grains of sand. Don't be eternally in hell, never to get out. You were or you are dead. But look at verse 4. Here's the good news. I love this, the B-U-T in verse 4. Listen to this. So all that's been said, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. And he goes on from there. The good news is, but because of his great love for you, he made or wants to make you alive this morning. Because of his great love for you, he made, if you've already been made alive, it's made for you. He made you alive. Or if you're someone who's doubting today and you're saying, I sure hope I'm not dead, then here's what it is for you. Because of his great love for you, he wants to make you alive this morning. He wants you to leave alive. That's what he wants to do. So that's our next point. But because of his great love for you, he made or wants to make you alive. And that's what we see in 4 through 7. That's what it says there. He's rich in mercy in verse 4. He made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace is free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy. What did we earn and we deserve? We've already discussed that in the first three verses. We've earned and deserved death and hell. That's what we should all get. We shouldn't get anything beyond that. It's what we deserve. And we were dead in our transgressions and sins, so there's absolutely nothing we could do. Something dead cannot do anything. It can't do anything. It is helpless if it is dead. But God says, He made it alive. That's what grace is. Free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that He pours out upon us. And so He says, in verse 5, He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That shows you that there's nothing you can do to help make yourself become alive. You can't be a good person. Stop believing the devil's lie of being good and good works. And there's nothing you can do. If you're dead spiritually, there's nothing you can do. God offers you grace. And the only thing you can do is believe. You can turn from yourself and sin, and you can say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you did all this for me. I believe you did it. Not I believe I can be good enough one day. I believe you did it. Lord, I put my faith in you. And that's what grace is. And so, because of His great love for us, verse 5, He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And we know that as Jesus was here, God in the flesh, and He died on the cross, and when He was raised from the dead and in His resurrection body, He appeared to all these witnesses and people, and then finally He ascended to heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And God says, when we come to Him, when we repent and we believe and we put that faith in Him, then somehow spiritually God puts us, we are with Christ and in the heavenly realms, we're seated with Him. God somehow spiritually puts us there, and we're secure, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And so He says in verse 6, we're seated with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And so you were dead, but because of His great love for you, He made you or wants to make you alive. And He is your life. When you repent and you believe, then you can say, Lord, you can say, You have made me alive, but You are my life. You are my life, Jesus. He said, I am the life. He said that a couple different times. And then the scripture also tells us, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him. He is your life. Lord, You made me alive and You are my life. For the believer, once you've repented and you've believed, then He's come in. And as Jesus put it to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And when you repent and you believe, that's what happens. His Spirit comes into you, and His Spirit gives life to your spirit. And you become brand new, and you're made alive. He makes you alive, and that's by grace. And finally, that's what we want to look at. He does this by grace, through faith. That's how He does it. He does this by grace, through faith. That's what we see in 8 through 10. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved, that free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. There's your only part. It's God's grace. It's all His work. Coming here to earth, living the perfect life you could never live, taking all your sin upon Himself, paying for it in full, experiencing the wrath of God on the cross, the wrath of God poured out and paid for your sins in full, died, was buried, and then on the third day raised from the dead, and then calls you to come, believe, I want to give you this gift of eternal life, if you'll trust in me. And so He's done all the work everything necessary. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. That's just you believe. I trust you, Lord. And this not from yourselves. A dead person spiritually can't do anything for themselves spiritually. It's not from yourselves, he says. It is the gift of God. It's a gift that God offers you. That's what grace is, and you receive it, and you believe. And then he tells us again in verse 9, it's not by works. A dead person can't do anything. There's nothing you can offer in your human effort and your own goodness. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so, if you know you're alive today and you're saved and you know you're going to be in heaven forever, you can't boast about anything. He did it all. You just believed. You have nothing to boast about. He gets all the glory by what he did for you. And you received his gift. And then once you've received it, he began that good work in you and he will bring it on to completion. As Philippians 1 tells us, he who began a good work in you will bring it on to completion. And so he saved you. He came to live in you. You're born again. All by your faith, you just believed. You received the gift. And then in verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. And the Greek word there, it's like a work of art. We're his workmanship, or some translations say his handiwork, or some say his masterpieces. So he began that work in you. He saved you. He made you alive. And then now he's working on you for the rest of your life. You're his masterpiece. And he's making you look more and more like Jesus. And he has these wonderful plans and all these things he wants to do in you and through you so that you'll finish your race strong and you'll complete the task the Lord Jesus has called you to do. And he's got all these things lined out for you. And it says that you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Remember, he put you in Christ. You're seated with him in the heavenlies. He raised you up with Christ. He created you in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So he's got it all lined. He's got every day you wake up as a believer, he's got all the good works that he's planned for you that day. So that you'll become more and more like Jesus. And so you're his masterpiece and he's working on you. And so that's by faith. And so he does this by grace through faith. He wants to live through you by grace through faith. He made you alive by grace through faith. He saved you by grace through faith. He wants to live through you by grace through faith once you're saved. Because, and you can say this to him, because of your great love for me, you have made me alive and you want to live through me because of your great love for me. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we just thank you for telling us what it takes to be alive. You said we all start off dead. And Lord, we know that we are either dead right now or we were dead. And so, Lord, we thank you that because of your great love for us, that you have made us alive. Many here today you have made alive by your grace. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one who makes us alive. And Lord, if there's any here today who need to become alive, who might be doubting or they may wonder if they're still dead, oh Lord, help them. Because your word says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it ends in death. And so, Lord, if there's anyone doubting today, Lord, help them to say, God, I believe you, Jesus. I come to you right now. And Lord, I admit I'm dead. I admit I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. But I believe. I believe you came for me, and I believe you paid for all my sins on the cross. And I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're God in the flesh, and that you paid for all my sins, that you're raised from the dead. And I want to be alive, Jesus. So I come to you and I say, save me. Come into my life. I give all that I know to you. I surrender everything to you. I'm yours, Jesus. Help me to follow you. Save me from my sins. And Lord, we thank you that anybody who's prayed that sincerely in their heart, Lord, that you've done it, that they've received your gift and now you've made them alive. And we thank you that you've made us alive. And Lord, that you do it by grace through faith. And that, Lord, anybody here who is alive today and knows it, Lord, help us to live by grace through faith. Live the Christian life. Actually, trust you to live your life through us by grace through faith. Help us in these things. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if God just did that for you, just made you alive, or did something significant to you during this time as you just heard his word, we want to celebrate that with you. Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if God did something in your heart, oh, come and share that with us. If he made you alive today, leave your seat, come down and share that. We want to rejoice with you. And we want to get you started on the right path, and we have some things to share with you. And then and maybe he did something else in your heart. Come and share that, whatever he's done in your heart. Maybe you need to pray. You can pray at the altar when Chris leads us, or at your seat there, that's fine. But maybe you need to join this church. Maybe he's speaking that to your heart. We welcome you, and you come as Chris leads us. Do whatever the Lord tells you.